Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Today's message for Mother's Day is titled, A Celebration of You. And once again, we want to wish all the mothers and grandmothers a very happy Mother's Day today. This is a day, as you well know, that has been set aside to honor you and all women, a sentiment which certainly accords with the heart of God, because He takes time. He takes time in His Word to honor you, to honor women, to honor mothers. We're going to read for now just two verses from Proverbs 31, but we're going to look at some of the other verses, because that entire chapter is really dedicated to God celebrating and honoring women. Proverbs 31, for now, we're going to read verse 10 and verse 28. The scripture says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Yeah. And then in verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, women in verse 10 is translated wife in some versions, but the word in the Hebrew literally means a female, and it can be translated either as woman or wife, depending on the context in which it is used. The point is that a woman of virtue is valuable. Her price is far above rubies. That means she's valuable. So a woman of virtue is valuable whether she's married or not, whether she is a mother or not, whether she is a wife or not, whether she stays at home or not. She is valuable in the sight of God. Her value comes not from the role that she plays, but her value comes from her virtue, The book of Proverbs is a book of practical wisdom for daily living, and it has a lot to say about women. Some of it good, and some of it not so good. For instance, it warns men repeatedly to avoid the adulterous woman, the seductress who is sensual and sexy and sultry and who will lead you to destruction. She's a sweet talker, the wisdom writer says, and she seeks out her victims and seduces them into sexual sin, even to break their marriage covenant. And he warns men to avoid such a woman. Proverbs also speaks about the noisy, nagging woman. Men, don't say amen. But the noisy, nagging woman who drives people away, and even her husband would prefer to live on the corner of a rooftop in peace than in a big house with her. That's what the Bible says. We are also introduced to a foolish woman, the rebellious woman, and the quarrelsome woman in the book of Proverbs. And many of these women represent qualities that may be valued or appreciated in some way by society, but all of these stand in stark contrast to the virtuous woman who is described in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is actually a poem or a song that celebrates the incredible worth of a virtuous woman, wife, and mother. It's not to be taken prescriptively, as though it's some kind of job description or checklist for women to have to strive after. And it's not to be viewed as some impossible or unattainable standard of perfection for women. Neither is it to be taken as a checklist for husbands to grade or judge their wives by. Amen? In fact, one commentator stated that a Jewish friend told her that in their culture, it's not the women who memorize Proverbs 31. It's the men. They memorize it to sing it as a song of praise to the women in their lives. Whether they're wives, their daughters, their sisters, their mothers, they sing Proverbs 31 to honor and celebrate the women in their life after the Sabbath meal. So men, between now and when you take her out this afternoon, memorize Proverbs 31. So Proverbs 31 is a poem or a song that spotlights the qualities of women that have been observed in daily life that deserve recognition. It deserves honor. In contrast, oftentimes, to many of the qualities that society might applaud. So today we want to honor the women, the wives, the mothers here by celebrating their virtues. And the first virtue that we honor you for is that we honor your strength. We honor your strength. You see, the word virtue in verse 10 in Hebrew is actually strength, might, and power. It's used to describe the great force of armies. Proverbs 31:25 says, she is clothed with strength. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. So strength is the first virtue that we celebrate in you. Now, the important thing is that a virtuous woman understands that being a woman of strength is different than being a strong woman. That was awful quiet. There's a difference between being a woman of strength and a strong woman. A strong woman is self-reliant and independent. A woman of strength relies upon the Lord and is dependent on His wisdom and might to face every situation. There's a big difference. A strong woman tends to be stubborn and domineering, which often causes problems in their marriage and in other relationships in their life. But a woman of strength is submitted to the Lord and allows the Spirit to dominate or control her life. I read a poem titled A Strong Woman Versus a Woman of Strength. It was written by a man named Luke Easter. And I'm going to just quote a couple verses. It was very lengthy, so I couldn't quote all of it for you, but I'm going to read a couple of verses. It says, a strong woman claims she isn't afraid of anything, looking forward to challenges each day will bring. Women of strength show courage in the midst of fear, declaring triumph through faith because God is near. Strong women won't let anyone get the best of them, so skilled in defenses even if they have to pretend. Yet a woman of strength gives her best to everyone. She doesn't have those defenses up. She gives her best to everyone, and even on a cloud-filled day, still bright as the sun. A strong woman wears the look of confidence on her face, always doing whatever it takes to finish, seeking only first place. The woman of strength competes with an emotional sense of grace, understanding it's more important to run a Holy Spirit-filled race. I wish I could go on, but the point is that we want to honor the women of strength, not the strong women, but the women of strength here today who recognize that God is the source of your strength and that you live a Spirit-controlled life, that you allow the Spirit to control your temperament, you allow the Spirit to control your tongue, you allow the Spirit to control your personality, you allow the Spirit to control your will. Amen? Because that person is filled with love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, grace, and self-control in everything they do and everything they say. They minister love, they minister joy, they minister grace to their husband, to their children, to everyone that they meet. We celebrate those Spirit-controlled women here today. A woman of strength exhibits great fortitude in the face of trouble. Eleanor Roosevelt said, a woman is like a tea bag. You can't tell how strong she is until you put her in hot water. But the Bible tells us about a woman named Abigail, whose husband Nabal had crossed, had betrayed, if you will, David. And David and his men had been providing protection for Nabal and his flocks. And David asked for some payment, for some compensation to feed his men, but Nabal refused. So David gathers his men to destroy Nabal and his household. Abigail hears what is happening. And she knows her husband has made a foolish decision and gotten himself into a mess. Because David has been protecting them from marauding bands, and he just asked for some food for his men, and Nabal refused. So she understands that her husband made a foolish decision, but she understands that it could be a deadly decision. But she doesn't tell her husband off, nor does she expose his foolishness, because she's Spirit-controlled. Yes. Hallelujah, ladies. Yes. So she prepares enough food. She uses wisdom. She prepares enough food for David and his men. She gets on a donkey, and she intercepts David on his way to attack Nabal and his servants. She intercepts David, And she takes it, she stands before him with great courage, and she apologizes for the whole misunderstanding, and she takes the blame. She says, it's my fault. And she says, here, isn't that wonderful, ladies? You didn't say it's my foolish husband's fault. Yeah, even though she knew it was, but she didn't say it because she's under the control of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so she offers David food for him and his men, and David was appeased and his anger was turned away, and she saved her husband's life and everyone else in their household and in their farm, if you will. So this woman of strength spared her husband and family by her wise and courageous action. Folks, Satan is out to destroy marriages and families today, and the women of strength can step in and intercede for their husband and for their children. And they will do it in a spirit-controlled manner so that the devil doesn't use them as an instrument of destruction in their own home. Hallelujah. That's good, even if you don't say amen. It's a needed word. And we applaud all the women, not the strong women, we applaud all the women of strength here today. All the wives and the mothers of strength who through their prayers and who through their wise actions have seen God's protection on your marriage and on your family. And we celebrate all the women of strength here who are intercessors, who stand in the gap for the families of this church and for this entire church, the body of Christ, and have averted much danger by your prayers. We celebrate you. Amen. A virtuous woman also uses her strength for the benefit of others. A woman of strength understands the power of her influence and uses it for the good of others. An example of this in scripture is Esther, a Jewish orphan girl who became the queen of Persia. And there was a wicked man in the administration, the leadership of Persia, named Haman. And he was virtually second to the king. And he manipulated the king into signing a decree that would have killed, it would have annihilated all of the Jews. And after much prayer, she courageously risked her own life to go before the king, her husband. But you have to understand the culture of that day. In that day, if you came before the king uninvited, even if you were his wife, you would be put to death. So she risked her life to go before the king, to plead with him to spare the lives of her people, because she was Jewish. And because she depended upon God as the source of her strength, she was able to courageously face danger and use her influence for the benefit of others. We applaud all the virtuous women, wives, and mothers who courageously face trouble and use your influence for the sake, for the good, for the benefit of others. We applaud you. The second virtue that we want to honor you for is we want to honor you for your sacrifice. This entire passage presents a picture of women whose sacrifice of themselves daily for the sake of others, for the sake of their family. Women selflessly sacrifice their time for the sake of others. The virtuous woman does. Proverbs 31 describes the virtuous woman as sacrificing her sleep and sacrificing her leisure, waking up before the sun rises and going to sleep long after the sun sets. And she does this for the sake of her family, for her husband, and for others. Verse 15 says that she rises while it is yet night. Verse 18 adds that her lamp does not go out by night. She stays up late, sacrificing of herself. And if you've known and had the opportunity to speak with a lot of ladies, you'll find something about women. They'll often put others ahead of themselves, even to the point of neglecting their own self, neglecting their own health, because they're constantly putting others ahead of their own self. And that is a virtue that God applauds. Women selflessly sacrifice their dreams and desires for the sake of others. In this passage, we see the virtuous woman doing whatever it takes to feed and to clothe her family and to support her husband and to help him succeed. I read the story of a man who had lost his father when he was only 5 years old, and his mother never remarried. And during the last months of his mother's life, he got the opportunity to spend a lot of time with her, and he asked her why it was that she had never married, though she lost her husband at a young age. And she responded, "I never found a man who I thought would put your dreams ahead of his own." She denied herself for the sake of her son. We don't find a lot of that virtue today. We find women taken up with this man and that man without any regard for whether he cares for their children. But the virtuous woman denies her own self, her own dreams, her own desires for the sake of others. For all the women, for all the mothers, for all the wives who continually sacrifice for your loved ones, for your family, for others, we applaud your selflessness. We honor the countless sacrifices that you have made and continue to make, which often go unrecognized. Oftentimes, you will never hear a thank you for your sacrifices. But God recognizes your sacrifice. And today we honor your sacrifices and we applaud you. Thirdly, we want to honor your service. We want to honor your service. Women tirelessly serve. Tirelessly serve their family and loved ones. In verse 15, it says, she rises while it's night and provides food for her household. I remember my mom when she worked full time, and she would be up by 5 o'clock in the morning when we were kids. And we'd be wanting to sleep, and we would hear her clanging pots in the kitchen, or sometimes we'd hear her vacuuming. But she always made sure before she went to work that she had cooked a meal so that when we came home, there was hot food on the table. She always made sure that she took care of all the needs of her family. She made sure that we had breakfast before we went out the door. Sometimes a little too much love in that area. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I honor my mom today because she is the epitome of one who serves, of one who sacrifices of herself. You know, it would be impossible to list all of the ways that a mother serves her family. And might I say that even at 86 years old and on a walker, she was such a tremendous blessing to me while I went through my treatment. Because she would prepare meals for me, as difficult as it might have been for her. You know, she was there doing whatever she could to help me. And so, Mom, I appreciate you. I love you. And I thank you very much. I honor you. But it would be impossible to list all of the ways that a mother serves her family. You know, cooking, cleaning, doing laundry, running kids back and forth. Sometimes you think you're a chauffeur. You're running them back and forth to activities. You help them with their homework. You comfort them when they're down. You encourage. You cheer them along. You provide first aid. You nurse them in times of sickness. You counsel them and give advice. And the list goes on endlessly of the services that you provide to your family. One article that I read listed over 52 job titles that a mother does on a regular basis. Another article estimated that a mother spends approximately 92 hours a week performing these various tasks on behalf of their family, while often working at least 40 hours outside of the home to help support the family. And this article further stated that if a mother was paid for all the things she does for her family, her salary today would be approximately $134,000. Ladies, you're wealthy and you didn't even realize it. You're saying, when am I going to collect? No, I'm just kidding. You do it day in, day out without any expectation of pay. You do it out of love. And for all the virtuous women, mothers, and wives who tirelessly serve your family and your loved ones every day, we celebrate you and we thank you for all you have done and continue to do every single day. We give you applause. You are deserving of great recognition and gratitude. Not only do you serve your family, but virtuous women thoughtfully serve others. Verse 20 says she extends her hand to the poor. This is outside the family. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And one thing you find is that women, you know, because there's a natural nurturing tendency in women, inclination in women to take care of others. Women are always reaching out and helping others, whether it's a friend or it's a coworker or in church or even a stranger. In fact, the vast majority of those who serve in churches in all capacities, whether you're talking about Sunday school or you're talking about small group leaders or you're talking about choirs or what, in all capacities, the vast majority of volunteers in churches, not just here, I'm talking around the world, are women. In fact, the church could not function, ladies, not just our church, but the church around the world, could not function without you. I'm reminded of the story of Paul Youngi Cho, who started the Full Gospel Church in Korea, in Seoul, Korea, that numbers over a million today. And when God first told him to go to, it's their cell group system called home churches, he went to, and it was already a large church, he went to men and he asked them to be the cell group leaders and he couldn't get any. And he went back to God and he said, I don't understand. He said, you told me to start this home ministry, this home church fellowship groups, and I can't get anybody to lead it. And he said that God told him, who told you to go to the men? Go to the women. And he started going to the women. And he got home pastors. And he has over 55,000 of them today, primarily women. The church could not function without you ladies because of your heart of service. And we applaud you for your service. We applaud you for your generous, compassionate, giving spirit and your servant's heart, because you're always, always reaching your hands out to help. We also honor your skills. We honor your skills. Virtuous women are multitaskers. Look at verses 13 through 19. Where the virtuous woman is described as walking, waking before dawn, going to bed after dark, to cook, to clothe, to care for her home. She's described as investing in real estate, running a business, and supervising employees. Women have an incredible capacity to multitask and to do it well. She can fix breakfast while getting herself dressed, getting the family dressed, getting them out the door on time, going to work, coming home, fixing dinner, while helping the kids with their homework, while sorting the laundry, while answering the phone. And she does it willingly, and she makes it look easy. And if mom perchance gets sick or has to go away, it can often lead to chaos, a dirty house, takeout meal boxes everywhere. Women, wives, mothers, we celebrate you today for all that you do every day that often goes unnoticed but makes everyone else's lives go so much smoother. Thank you. We applaud you. Virtuous women are multifaceted. Virtuous women are not one-dimensional. They can be successful in career and in family if they so choose. In this passage, the virtuous woman is described as managing her household and her business affairs well. There was an old TV commercial for some perfume, I think it was, that said, it was a song, I'm not going to try to sing it for you, but it said, she can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. So I won't quote the rest of the song to you. But the virtuous woman knows how to balance career and family and do both effectively and successfully. To all the virtuous women, wives, and mothers who work hard both inside and outside of the home, we celebrate you and we applaud you for your tireless efforts. And I want to give a special shout out to those single mothers, that you are doing it on your own because your load is doubly heavy, and we want to applaud you and recognize you for all that you do. Fifthly, we want to honor your spirituality. Verse 30 says, Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, the virtuous woman is a godly woman. Charm is deceitful. Anyone can be all bubbly and nice and treat people nicely for a time, especially when they want to impress. But is that her true character? Is that how she will treat her husband and children once married? Young men, when you're dating, remember this. Charm is deceitful. Look for a godly woman who loves and serves the Lord. The world prizes physical beauty. That's a part of the deception of charm. Beauty is fleeting, he says. Beauty is fleeting. You see, the world applauds physical beauty. And men, because of the way that their brain is wired, often look at the outward appearance before considering anything else. And if impressed by the outward appearance, oftentimes will not consider anything else. And that's how mistakes are made, men, especially young men. But the wisdom writer says, beauty is fleeting or it's fading. She may look good now, but I'm telling you something. Eventually she'll turn gray. Amen. And you'll have to take out stock in Miss Clara. Oh. Eventually that face is going to get wrinkled. Or it's going to get pulled so tight there's going to be no expression on it. Eventually, if she has children and once she turns about 40, she'll probably gain some weight over the years. And eventually, whatever was up here is going to migrate southward.
Thank you, Lord, for grabbing it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But man, while her hair turns gray, yours will probably turn loose. And your 32-inch waist will become 42. And I could go on, but, you know, we all age.
Amen. That's right.
Beauty is fleeting.
That's right.
And if you marry somebody just for their appearance and they don't have virtue, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt.
Wow.
Beauty does not make for a good marriage. But the scripture says, but the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. When you find a woman that fears the Lord, you're going to have reason to praise, to speak positively. Her relationship with the Lord is the most important because it is the foundation from which all the other virtues listed in this chapter flows. That is the foundation. And then a virtuous woman is a trustworthy woman. Verse 11 tells us that a husband's heart can safely trust in her. He can be joyful and be at peace because she knows, he knows she won't betray him. She's not going to be talking about him behind his back. Ladies, no matter what your husband does or how foolish you think it may be, do not discuss it with other people, especially in church, if you want him to keep going to church.
That's right.
Now, I understand there may be times that you need to seek counsel. Do so privately with a very spiritually mature person or with a pastor. But don't be going around, and especially not in the guise of a prayer request, telling 15 or 20 people, pray for my husband because he made a dumb decision. You know, Abigail didn't do that when her husband made a foolish decision. I'm sure she sought the Lord. God gave her wisdom. She dealt with it.
Amen.
But the virtuous woman is trustworthy. Her husband knows that he can confide in her. She'll not betray him. He knows and can trust that she'll always put her family and her home first because she fears the Lord. And her ultimate desire is to please God in all she does. And today, we want to applaud all the women who fear the Lord in this place today. God bless you for your commitment to the Lord. In Proverbs 31, God recognizes the value of a virtuous woman and tells us that their husband and children should recognize and value and praise her for it. Ladies, you can pay me later, but husbands and children, you need to recognize that woman who has served you, who has sacrificed for you, who has prayed for you, who has given of herself tirelessly for you. You need to recognize her. You need to applaud her. You need to praise her for it. And especially today, you need to let her know how much you love her and recognize what she has done for you and her family. And at this point, I'm going to ask all the mothers here to stand. All the mothers here to stand. Would you? And if you're a husband or a wife, a husband or a son or a daughter, I want you to go to them right now and tell them that you love and appreciate them for all that they have done. And you know what? If you're a single mother with no family here, turn to another single mother and speak words of blessing over her right now. Speak words of blessing over her. Turn to somebody right now. You may not have your family here with you. You may not have your family here with you, but speak words of blessing over her right now. God honors her. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let's pray. Let's pray for all the mothers here. If you're here with your mother or with your wife, lay your hands on her and pray. Pray blessing over her right now. Pray strength. Pray health over her. Let's lift up our voices. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for each and every mother and grandmother in this place, Lord God. We thank you for the incredible blessing that they have been in our lives, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them, Lord God. Father, as they pour out of themselves tirelessly, we pray that you would pour into them continuously your strength, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just give them, Lord, as they serve you by serving their family. I pray that you would bless them with the desires of their heart. I pray, Lord God, that your hand of favor would be upon them, Lord God, that you would fill them with your joy and with your peace, Lord God. Father, that you would meet their every need, Lord God, and that you would bless them indeed in everything they do, in their going in and their coming out, in their rising up and their sitting down. Let your blessing be upon them, O God. Father, we place them in your hands today, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen, and give a great big hand clap to all the mothers and grandmothers here. God bless you. We celebrate you and have a wonderful Mother's Day. Be sure to pick up a gift on your way out. God bless you.